All right. The time is 2:01 Central Time on January 20, 2026, and I am convening this video conference and telephone conference meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. This meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. A proper notice of the meeting was filed on January 9th, 2026, and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. We do have a quorum, as all three members of the committee confirmed to be present by video conference or audio conference. Also in attendance are Executive Director Bart Bowles, General Counsel Dan Price, Association Employees Jarrett Terry and Topping Haggerty. I don't think Brandy is here, is she?
No, she's not going to attend today.
And from TDI, David Ashton. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
Right. So I think first item is the consideration possible action on the consent agenda, which I think is just the summary of the minutes from the last meeting. So, any questions, corrections? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, this Ted.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second, this is Mark.
All right. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All
Aye.
right. Consent agenda is adopted. Number two, item two, consideration possible action on obligations, expenses, and the net position for active insolvencies. So, Bart or Jarrett, feel free.
Well, I'll start and Jared will probably chime in. So, Mr. Jarrett, this is the second time we've shown this kind of a revised schedule. And I will bring up the schedule, kind of walk you through, and I'm going to expand it just a little bit so you can maybe see it better. Got to get it. There we go. Well, here we go. So what we have now, we try to present to you is kind of a snapshot of where we are on all of these active insolvencies. And this is any company that we have a net position balance, either positive or negative. When we say net position, we take the cash equivalent investments, and then we start deducting or adding anticipated and projected receivables, our projected liabilities that we're going to have of other types of payables. These are usually expenses. Then we have remaining insurance contractual obligations, current, those that come due in the next 12 months, non-current, those more than 12 months out, to get to a net position. So what I thought we would do is hit on a couple of the highlights here. Let's note some of the larger balances. You see here Bankers Life, and I'll talk about it together with Colorado Bankers, the two of the larger balances. You see they have cash and cash equivalents between the two of them right at $19.7 million. Those are primarily amounts being held in two escrow accounts at NOLGA, and as the weekly and monthly claims batches are adjudicated and processed, Jarrett reviews those. He sends me a note. I look at them, and then I authorize the release of the funds from those escrow accounts to the TPA, and they send out the payments. It's a quicker process to already have the monies sitting at NOLGA rather than initiate the transfer. It saves 2, 3, 4 days, business days, in getting this done. So, but if you carry those two across, under contractual obligations, you see a negative 5.8 million for Bankers and a negative 14.7 million for Colorado Bankers. Those are balances that we projected as of November 30th that we will be paying under an assumption reinsurance agreement with Continental General Insurance Company. That transaction, we'll go ahead and tell you now, was executed on December 16th. We authorized the release of the funds for the upcoming closing at that point. And the closing occurred January 2nd. January 1st effective date, January 2nd funding. So these balances as of November 30th, they look substantially different today. In addition, what's not shown in here, because it wasn't even known at the time, with the resolution of the uncovered claimants' claims against the estate and the way they were resolved, the special master for the criminal case in North Carolina was able to recover substantial funds through the sale of a company that the master had taken control over from Greg Lindbergh. And through restitution payments to approximately 43,000 annuity contract holders, all those contract holders were paid any amounts that were not covered in their annuities values as of November 30th, 2024, the liquidation date. So they no longer have a claim, had a claim against the estate. That resolved some disputes and disagreements we had with the receiver. And so a early access distribution of, Jarrett, give me the amount. Was it 500 million?
Or is it, yeah, it was 500 million.
$500 million was released to the Guaranty Association. So where we are right now in those two companies, we have about $28 million and really in excess funds. Now, we'll talk about it at the board meeting. We have some obligations still that yet to be run off that were not transferred under the assumption reinsurance agreement, but it's only about $169,000 or so. So we're going to have some excess funds here. Those recoveries worked well. All right. So that's Bankers and Coalinda Bankers. Bride Healthcare is a negative $3.5 million. Just so you know, we are continuing to accrue that. We have no obligations under policies yet to pay. We are still working through some admin expenses and evaluation of issues that arise with the receiver. We will be submitting a final request for an early access distribution from the receiver, and we should recover all of those funds. Let's move on down to next one I have circled. Let's go all the way down to North Carolina Mutual. It's a negative $1,073,000. This is just an administrative action we need to take. This is one of the seven insolvencies that in 2023, the board authorized the funding of those that insolvency along with six others from the monies that we transferred into the insolvency expense account from the Lincoln Memorial Service litigation recoveries. So that $1 million negative balance will be going away. We just need to do some accounting and transfers. Penn Trinity, substantial excess funds there because we've gotten additional distributions and we have not had to fund any additional amounts into LTC Re. We do have an excess balance with LCC Re, but we still have several thousand policies yet to run off. So this is one we're continuing to monitor, but at this time, not a refund that we're projecting. And then moving down to Southland National. Southland National right now is in a negative net position of only $246,000. The $10.6 million of contractual obligations is an estimate that we've prepared of our assumption reinsurance obligations. We're working to close an assumption reinsurance transaction, hopefully this quarter with Continental General. And with that, we'll be paying that additional $10.6 million. This is also one of the seven insolvencies that the board directed us in 2023 to pay from the insolvency expense account funds. And you can see the insolvency expense account at the bottom there has a balance of Right now, current cash investments 53.2 million. So, all in all, we believe that we have sufficient funds to meet current obligations. We're not projecting right now any refunds because we have obligations coming or possibly additional recoveries to come, and we'll consider those refunds at a later date. So for now, the net positions do not create any Class B assessment needs or refund needs. Jarrett, do you want to add to that?
Bart, I really don't have anything to add. I think you covered it quite well.
And as always, if the committee has any questions, either now or later, any specific insolvency or balance that looks unusual to you, feel free. You're going to see that $88.8 million. We're going to talk about that when we go to investments. We are holding more than that, and we'll tell you why in just a moment. But that's
All right.
coming in our next item.
Yep. Ted or Mark, any questions at this point for Bart or Jarrett?
None for me.
No, sir.
Very good. All right. Bart, let's head to item number three, associations investments.
Okay. Jarrett, you want to describe how we're holding our investments right now?
Sure. So we added to this. This is our normal report that we give you at every committee meeting. And we needed to add to it because we had not included the escrow accounts that Bart had mentioned earlier. So we now have four ways that we hold our investments: cash, U.S. Treasury bills and notes, money market funds, and U.S. Treasuries and the NOLGA escrow account. So we did add that this time. If you want to go down to the next page, Bart. So I'm not going to go through all of this. This is the stuff that we report each committee meeting. It's all in there. So let's just go to the schedules. So this is our schedule of the cash and investments as of October 31st and November 30th. We start off with the cash and money market sections. The first one is the Morgan Stanley money market funds. We have just a little over 9,000 there. The money market funds at JPMorgan Chase Bank. This is the money market funds that are in the sweep accounts for our demand deposit accounts. And it's really only in one bank account. The rest of the sweeps have been turned off, but for purposes of not exceeding the $250,000 FDIC protection, we have to have a sweep in place. So that's 1.3 million. The next section there is our money market funds at Morgan Money. This is the account that we set up to help facilitate the Bright and Friday insolvencies so we could move monies quickly to pay those claims. We have a little over 48 million there. And then the next section is the actual cash in our demand deposit accounts. Just a little under 250,000 there. And then we keep that for the FDIC protection. And then this is the new one that we added, the cash in the NOLGA BLIC and CBLIC escrow accounts, a little over 12 million there. So that handles all the cash and money market funds. Then we go to the investments. We have two investment brokers, Morgan Stanley with 30.7 million and JP Morgan with a little over 7 million there. And so there's all our total cash and investments. Any questions on that schedule?
And Jared, let's point out that $100 million cash investments, $100,402,000, where we just talked about the net position on the insolvencies was 88.8. The difference
Yes.
being our administration expense funds that we're holding.
Yes. So yeah, we keep the money in the insolvency expense account for the estates and then our administrative expense account for our operations. And so the difference between the 88,000 that Bart mentioned and the 100,000 here is our Class A funds.
How about 88 million and 100 million?
Yeah.
You said 1,000. So
Sorry, 100
that's
million.
okay. A little bit more.
Hey,
Ted, did you have a
Jared,
question?
I do. So, Jared, I appreciate liquidity, the major concern, but just out of curiosity, what do we make on the money markets on average? And are cash accounts, the bank accounts, interest bearing, or just we're flat cash? Oh, here we go.
So the demand deposit accounts that we keep 250,000 or less, there's no interest earned in those. That anything in excess of 250,000 is swept daily into the money market fund, and we're getting well, roughly the same thing as all the other money markets. It's actually the same money market fund that the Morgan Money account is in. So that is, for this
3.7.
purpose, 3.7%. Everything else is invested in some sort of interest earning mechanism. Our treasuries, as you see there, we get a little over a 3.7% there. And our Morgan Stanley, we keep so very little cash in that. Everything there is just invested in treasuries. As we get any cash flow, any incoming interest, those are always reinvested into treasuries. So we're looking at overall probably around 3.7% is what we're getting on everything except for $250,000.
And if you'll look on this schedule, you see two of the treasuries there matured at the end of the year. This is a schedule as of November 30th. Jared always looks at these and says, okay, we've got something maturing X amount on this date. Here's where we are on funds. Do we need any of those funds? Do we not need those funds? And recently it's been, we don't need those funds. So then we look at right then the maturity date rates. And it's usually, sometimes it's the 90 to 120 day investment period is where we can get the best returns. After that, it starts falling off. So instead of doing the laddered maturity schedules, so we go out to the end of our last investment, we've not been doing that. We've been targeting, really, I guess, chasing yields. The short-term yields are better than the long-term.
Yeah, well, we've had an inverted yield curve for what, a couple of years now. So our shorter term instruments are providing a higher yield than our longer term, which is not typical, although it has been typical for about 2 or 3 years. So yeah, we end up doing around 90, like Bart said, 90 to 120 days investments.
But thank you for the question, Ted. Other questions?
Yeah, Bart, so how much of that total is available for future insolvencies, I guess? What, we have a chunk of that we can tap depending on the
Yes.
line, or
Let me go back here. Let's
yeah,
look at
that.
this schedule. So right now you see that 54 million in the insolvency expense account. There's only a few up here would go into it. I would say around probably 35 million or so.
Well, we're going to have to pay the Southland National out of that.
Right.
So that'd be a 11 million. That really.
But we don't have the recoveries in here from BLIC and CBLIC, those distributions.
Yeah. And so that, yeah. So, yeah, I bet we'll have $40 million in
Yeah, we could be
insolvency
hitting
expense
40
account.
million of excess funds. Now, for what we see on the horizon, for a couple of companies we're looking at, that's not going to be enough, but it's going to help.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Bart or Jarrett? All right. Hearing none. Item four, I guess this is our annual review of the investment policy.
And we've given you the investment policy right out of when it says section seven, like it's section seven of the plan of operation. So this is the portion of the plan of operation that details the investment policy of the association. And I will say this, remember when we rewrote this, we looked at Texas Public Funds Investment Act. We compared investment schedules and plans from other entities. We have a very broad investment policy. Certain investments can be made without board additional approval within certain, there are certain parameters. Other investments, we have to go to the board and ask the board to permit that investment. There's a lot of opportunities here, and we're not using them, but they are available should we need it. So we think it's a robust investment policy and serves us well. Jarrett, anything you want to add about our policy?
No, I don't have anything. Thank you.
All right. So, no recommended changes then, I take it, Bart.
None at all.
All right. Any questions or comments from the committee? All right.
No, sir.
All right. Hearing none. Bart, I guess that brings us to item five. I think we've touched on some of this stuff, but assessments and refunds.
And what we do in this section, we like to give you a recap of, because when we had these Lincoln Memorial Service recoveries, over several meetings, as the board was evaluating how we would handle these excess funds, since premium tax offsets, almost all of them have been taken. We just recap which admin expenses and which insolvencies the board said should be paid from these Lincoln Memorial Service funds. And you can see here on this third bullet, in July 2023, there were seven specific life insurance, or seven specific insolvencies with only life insurance obligations that the board say should be paid from the insolvency expense account. Now, there was also in the seven, there were two insolvencies that we had not yet been active before. And at that time, it was Bankers and Colorado Bankers. Any life insurance obligations from Bankers and Colorado Bankers are being paid from the insolvency expense account. The Class B assessment that was authorized and called for Bankers and Colorado Bankers is only paying for annuity obligations for those companies. So, this, I won't go through all the recap. Let's talk about, make sure I get to the right section. With the Class A history, I should, that's the history. I should talk about the need. Here we go. Trying to find the balance, Jared. There we go. If you look on the paragraph begins from January 1st through November 30th, we talk about how the insolvency expense account has paid certain Class A expenses. And then we have currently the operating expense account, the OEA, has $7.6 million in it. And it's a surplus above what we have obligations for administrative expenses to pay. We've been making good interest earnings on that. And so we are projecting, as part of our budgeting process, that we will have administrative expenses in 2026 of $3.1 million. Now, those are not all operating overhead expenses, I'll call it general expenses. They're expenses also for monitoring companies for which we have not yet been activated. So we keep those as administrative expenses, not insolvency-specific insolvency expenses. We move those expenses into the insolvency-specific or Class B when we are activated for that company. So $3.1 million of obligations for 2026 for admin expenses. We have $7.6 million. Jarrett's also calculated that he believes we will earn another almost $2.4 million in interest over the year. So for 2026, we are not recommending a Class A assessment because we have sufficient administrative expense funds at this time. And let's stop there. Any questions about Class A? All right. Class B, once again, a summary of specific actions that the board has permitted to pay obligations of companies from the insolvency expense account. I mentioned these seven companies earlier. Then we gave you a quick summary of Friday and Bright. Friday and Bright, we have not assessed for them. We anticipate both those companies will have full recovery of both administrative expenses for those companies and our obligations to policyholders that we have paid will make full recovery in distributions from the estates. So there will not be a need for Class A ever on those. Bankers, Colorado Bankers, this is a good summary. We had projected that our obligations for those two companies be $102 million. To date, I believe, Jarrett, here it is, right here. The claims batches that we have paid, plus the assumption reinsurance agreement funding that we projected, but it now has come to pass. We paid on January 2nd. We have paid $96.5 million. We also have made some recoveries. So there is going to be, I think, Jarrett, we estimated in excess of $25 million of excess funds from what we had assessed for Bankers and Colorado Bankers. And with that, and the remaining obligations, as I mentioned, from Bankers and Colorado Bankers, $169,000 of what we think we have left to fund. These are certain obligations that were not transferred to Continental General. For example, policyholders of life insurance policies age 96 and over. Okay. Any death claims with a date of death prior to year end 2025. So it's really IBNR on death claims. There's a few health insurance obligations we haven't that we will be responsible for, but none have been incurred. And there were a handful of exchanges and surrenders on annuity contracts that had been submitted, were in process of payment prior to year-end 2025. Continental General will not take those. So as that processing is completed, we will have to fund those. That is, I think it's 169,000 for 18 different policies. So that's all we have left to pay there. With that, and the other insolvencies that we covered in the net position, we do not see any need for a Class B assessment at this time.
All right. Any questions for Bart?
Hey,
All right.
Bart, just one
Yes.
quick one. So you mentioned before that you allocate a portion of the budget for anticipated or monitoring activity of anticipated insolvencies. So just as a case example, do you anticipate allocating any from that fund for PHL this year? I'm sure we'll have a board update where we stand there, but do we expect any expense from the Texas Association this year for purposes of PHL, whether it's for monitoring or actual insolvency concerns?
Yes, we have several insolvencies. PHL is going to have substantial expenses. SHIP is another company in rehabilitation that we are monitoring. There'll be substantial expenses there. So these are public rehabilitation proceedings, and we are monitoring them. And you know that PHL has now publicly, at its year-end report, has said that rehabilitation cannot be achieved, and it's going to ultimately have to be liquidated. So there's going to be a lot of expense there. Now, that's going to get paid out of the administrative account. But once we are activated, a liquidation order with a finding of insolvency is entered by a court and the association is activated, we can now, we have the authority to assess for that company. Any recoveries we make or assessments we levy for that company, we will repay the administrative expense account for those expenses we're paying now prior to activation. So the administrative expense account will make a recovery at some point once we can we get to the stage of activation and Class B is authorized.
Yeah, you anticipated beautifully. That was going to be my question. So thank you.
So we do see fluctuations in administrative expense accounts because we can incur substantial I'll call it pre-liquidation expenses. Then we make post-liquidations recoveries and repayments. Refunds, I've already covered that when we talked about the net position schedule. We're not recommending any refunds at this time. And on the Class B protest, the only thing I'll say here publicly that there has been no activity. Is that enough to say, Dan?
That's enough to say.
Okay, thank you, sir. So we'll have nothing to report there. If there was something to report, we would say we need to talk about this in executive session. We're not going to have anything to talk about in executive session on this item, Jim.
Right. Which brings us to item six, executive session. So we don't have anything on the protest. Do we have any other items, Bart, to talk about in exec? Or
I have nothing that we need to talk about in confidential executive session. I'll ask Dan if there's anything he needs to raise.
I've not been contacted in advance about anybody needing advice from counsel, nor do I have anything.
Okay. Ted or Mark, anything that we need to go to exec for?
Nothing here.
All right.
No, sir.
All right. So item seven would be moot. All right. Item eight. Next meeting. It's July 21. All right. Maybe put that on your calendars or check them. I assume you've looked at all the NOLGA stuff and everything, Bart.
Yes, and everything. There's no conflicts aware, but we're good 6 months out. We have plenty of time if we need to make an adjustment. So if anyone identifies a conflict, please let Jim Harrison and me know, and we can always poll for another date.
All right. I think that's it, isn't it, Bart?
We have nothing else today. It's pretty
Yep.
straightforward.
All right. All right. Well, let me close it out. I got to scroll down here. All right. The time is 1:32 on January 20th, 2026, and this meeting of the Assessment Investment Committee of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association is adjourned.